Good morning. Today we will be in Jeremiah chapter 23. You'd like to turn there. This morning we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8 in Jeremiah chapter 23. So let's start by reading our passage. It says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, please speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, just help us to know you better today and know your word better. And just ask your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I was preparing for this lesson, and we see a lot in this passage about sheep and shepherds, I was doing a little research, and I found just an article that a pastor had written, had gone on a trip to New Zealand. And on his trip, he visited a sheep farm down there. And he noted some interesting things there as they went there. It was supposedly one of the largest sheep farms in the world. And they had a shepherd take them around and give them a tour while they were there. It's just part of their business, is doing tours. And he wrote down some of the things that the shepherd told them about the sheep and what it's like being a shepherd. And this is picking up in his article there. Again, this is the pastor speaking about this tour guide shepherd. It says, "He spoke of being in the mountain highlands for an entire summer with a flock of over 1,500 sheep, fighting off predators with the help of some wonderful, highly trained sheepdogs. Giving us a visual sample, the shepherd sent four dogs to a distant pasture, and we watched them return with a cohesive band of complaining but very compliant sheep. In order to move from one side of the flock to the other, the dogs could even run across the backs of the sheep without missing a step. Raising sheep presents a number of unique difficulties and challenges. The animals are far weaker and more vulnerable than cattle. For instance, sheep are notoriously short-sighted and can only see 10 to 12 feet in front of them. And even when they do become aware of danger, sheep are just as likely to run toward the danger rather than away from it. Recognizing this, the New Zealand ranch maintains a close surveillance of their flocks, seeking to identify potential predators on the horizon. In the process of describing how helpless a sheep can be, our guide pointed out that the animal is actually top-heavy. When a sheep lies down to rest, it may not have the strength or agility to get back on its feet again. So the sheep lies there upside down and helpless, in what is known as a cast position. Predators, of course, soon take notice and vultures begin to circle. Sadly, the animal has little means of defending itself. The cast sheep's only hope lies with the shepherd. Unless the shepherd seeks and finds the sheep, lifts it to its feet, and rubs its legs to restore circulation, the animal won't survive." When you read something like that, you realize how much sheep need a shepherd. They're pretty helpless by themselves. And one interesting thing in the rest of that article, the person writing said that shepherd went on to give a personal testimony and uses this information to share his testimony of salvation to people that come there. So, you know, it's a blessing to see people doing that out in the world. But throughout God's word, we see how the Lord uses this picture of shepherd and sheep throughout his word. And usually we're represented as a sheep and seeing how much we need a shepherd. And you even see, like, throughout the Bible, the people that were shepherds that God used. You think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph and all his brothers, Moses, David. You know, all these people that God used, what was their occupation at one time? It was being a shepherd. And as we look at our passage today, we're going to see kind of two extremes of shepherds. And as we begin our passage and going through it, we're going to see the wrong kind of shepherd there that the people had. Now, last week we were in the beginning of Jeremiah, and at that point in history, Josiah was still king of Judah. Israel had been taken away in captivity, but Jeremiah was prophesying that it wasn't going to be long before Judah was going to be carried away as well. And now when we get to chapter 23, Judah has been carried away into captivity. And Jeremiah, he speaks about what has happened, but he's also going to speak about what's going to happen here. And as we get to the first verse here, we see how important it is of being a good leader. From verse 1, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." So we see there the first word is woe. And whenever you see that, it means look out, because judgment's coming there. And here he says, "Woe be unto the pastors." Now the word pastor can be interchanged with shepherd there. It means the same thing and represents shepherds that are watching over their flock. And there, here the sheep that he's talking about there are God's people there. So he's telling them to warning them that judgment is coming because they've destroyed and scattered the sheep of his pasture. And, so what exactly have they done there? Why are they in this position? Well, Ezekiel gives a clear description of what was going on. And in Ezekiel's chapter 34, you're welcome to turn there if you'd like. We see a description there of what the leaders in Judah specifically were doing at that time up to that point. Remember, we said Josiah was a good king, but his father and his grandfather were not. His children were not. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar was appointing people, and the people really did not have true leadership. But we see in Ezekiel 34, and we read verses 1 through 6, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." We see here all the things that the leadership there in Israel was doing that was wrong. We see that they were more worried about having the nice clothes. They were more worried about themselves having things and food, and they were withholding things from the people. The people were hurting, and they weren't doing anything to help them. There it says they weren't helping those that were sick. They weren't helping people and things that were broken. And, when people were lost, they weren't helping find them. They just were not caring for the people. And what it boils down to is they were cared about themselves. And bad leadership starts with loving yourself more than loving others. and that's going directly against God's word. Judah's leadership had gotten to the point where the needs of the people were being ignored. The leadership was just worried about themselves, and they were ignoring the people. And so it's also, it needs to be a reminder to us as well that we need to take seriously the opportunities that God's given us to have influence over others. You know, a lot of times whenever you see a passage like this where it's talking about shepherds and pastors, you know, everybody focuses on like pastor or you know, the preachers in the churches. But the truth is God puts all of us in different points of leadership in one way or the other. There, it may be in our job, maybe in our family, maybe in our community, maybe in the church. We all have influence on other people, and we need to take that very seriously and make sure that we're not doing what these leaders were doing and putting ourselves first. And when God brings people into our life that we have influence on, we need to take that opportunity to encourage and to help them and to be a blessing to them, not try to see ways for opportunity for ourselves. So we see here what Ezekiel tells us, what was making these men bad shepherds. So what is a good shepherd? Well, the Bible so happens to tell us clearly what a good shepherd is. And we see that in John chapter 10, in verses 11 through 15. And I think you're all very familiar with this passage. Again, this is Jesus talking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So what's the difference there? We see the bad shepherds, the bad leaders, were those that were doing everything for themselves. We see what the perfect shepherd is, and he's willing to give his life for the sheep. And that's the exact opposite of what was going on here. And it continues in verse 2. In the first verse, he's saying, "Woe unto those shepherds." Now he's going to address them directly. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of all your doings, saith the Lord." So at this point, the flock, the people of Judah and Israel, were in exile. They were there because they had sinned and they were worshiping other gods. They had turned away from the Lord. But the main emphasis on this judgment is on the leaders here. Because it says there, they didn't visit the flock. That means they didn't care for the people. They were concerned about themselves and were not caring about those around them, those that had needs. And they're, you know, the judgment, he said, you know, because they didn't visit the flock, judgment would be visiting them. God was telling them, "You didn't do what you're going to do, but because you didn't visit them, I'm going to visit you, not with help, but with judgment there." And, you know, we don't want to be in that position as well. You know, it should serve as a warning to those in authority who would leave God's people astray. You think about, you know, the Bible warns so often about false teachers. You know, how important it is and how seriously we need to take the influence we have on others and make sure that what we're doing is not leading people astray. And not just in what we say, in how we live as well. Because it's so easy to say one thing and live differently. And when you have that hypocritical situation, that's when people are led astray a lot of times. So, you know, we see this warning to these bad shepherds, but it needs to be a warning to us as well to make sure we take seriously the influence that we have on others. There, so we need to not have a false lifestyle. We need to make sure that the The way we live and the things we say are true to God's word. So as we continue on here, though, the direction changes. These first two verses are talking about the warnings to the shepherds, but now he's going to turn to the sheep. In verse 3, it says, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Again, just like we've seen throughout this whole Sunday school study here, we see God's full grace and mercy on display. The people are in exile because they've sinned, but God says he's going to make a way for them to come home again. You know, even though their sin had resulted in exile, God still cared about them, and he was still concerned and wants them to come back to him. God is saying here, "I put you here, and I'm going to bring you home." There he says, when he's talking about his flock being in exile, he says, "whither I have driven them." So he's the one that has allowed them to be there because of their sin. He allowed this to happen. And God could have stopped that exile from happening, but he's brought them there so they can learn, but he's also going to bring them home. And that's the wonderful thing we see over and over in God's word. Sometimes God has to take us to an uncomfortable place to remind us that we are his and that we not only need him, but when we are trusting and obeying him, we are in the best place for us. Sometimes, we're hurting. Sometimes God allows us to go through those hard situations and realize that we need him, but also that where he wants us to be, close to him, is the absolutely best place we can be. There is no better place than being in God's will, close to him. So no matter how dire our situation seems, God always wants us to come back to him. He wants us to turn from our sin and come back to him. And he continues on in verse 4. It says, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So here he says he's going to provide the godly leadership that the people need. And that's a reminder to us that godly leadership comes from the Lord, that he provides what we need. God was going to raise up people to help them come out of this exile, and not because they wanted power or they wanted leadership abilities, but because these people that God was going to raise up cared about the people of God. They cared about pleasing the Lord. He would provide leadership and representatives that cared for the nation of Israel during this time. You think of people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Mordecai, Esther, Ezra, Zerubbabel, Joshua the high priest, Nehemiah. God used all these people to help the people of Judah make it through this tough time and get back home. So God provided people there to help them when they needed it. And it's also a reminder to us that we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for those that are over us, whether it's in government, in church, wherever. God has given people authority over us, and we need to pray that they will trust the Lord, and the Lord will help them in the opportunities and in the responsibilities that he's given them. So here God's telling them, I know this is a dire situation, but you're going to get through and help will come. But he's also going to let them know that something even better is coming. And as we move on to verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." So he's letting them know here that more than just earthly leaders, the Messiah will be coming, and he's still going to be of the line of David. And here, as we looked at that verse, it specifically says, "Raise unto David a righteous branch." That word branch could also mean heir. And We see that clarified some in Isaiah 11:10. It says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. So it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." It tells us there that there will be an heir of Jesse, whose heir was David, that's going someday bring us glorious rest. And we see clear, and it's made clearly clarified in Revelation 22:16, when it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." So the Bible makes it very clear that this root of David is Jesus Christ, and that he will be coming today, not just to rule over the Israelites, but over all. Many people would be returning home to Israel, and that would be a great thing, especially for these people at this time that needed this encouragement, but was far from what God had planned for them and for the whole world as well. God had planned so much more than just the Jewish people returning to the land. And you think, how often do we settle for our current situation and forget that God wants so much more for us? I know the Lord wants us to be content where we are. He's put us where we are. We're to be content, and we need to be content with what he's given us. But we don't need to get so comfortable that we don't keep seeking his will and his desires and what's best for our lives. We learned last week about what happened when the people of Judah got comfortable. They eventually jumped into idol worship because they got comfortable, because they were supposed to be the good nation, because the temple was there and they had the line of David. But we saw when they got comfortable, they dove right into idol worship there. And a close walk with God and seeking his desires leads to more than we could ever expect. When I was doing my Bible reading this morning, I was in Psalm 119, and verse 18 really jumped out at me after studying this part. It says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." If we spend time in God's word, he's going to show us wondrous things, things that we're missing out on if we're not spending time with him, trying to grow and doing our best for him. So, a close walk with God and seeking his desires leads to more than we can ever expect. And that's because of what we read here in verse 5 about him sending that branch of David. God would send his son first as Messiah and Savior, and eventually he's going to return to rule all the earth. And as we continue on in verse 6 here, it says, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." So here we see God's grace and mercy on display again. Remember, this is Jeremiah writing, hundreds of years before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And here he's saying that this Messiah that come, his name is the Lord is our righteousness. Where does our salvation come? Does it come from our righteousness? No, it comes from Jesus' righteousness. The people there in Israel will be saved not because of their righteousness, but because of the righteousness of God and his love, grace, and mercy of helping them get out of this time of exile. Our salvation comes when the Lord is our righteousness, not when we trust in our own righteousness, but when we trust in God's righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Here again, over and over again, we see the gospel in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah there. And as we continue on in verse 7, it says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." verse 8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So when this time comes, when they would come out of exile, this is going to be a rebirth for Israel when they returned. You know, up to this point, they always look back to their beginning as when they came out of Egypt. Now they're going to have something else to look forward to, as or look back to, as when they came out of exile. And you think back, at one time God had blessed and multiplied this people, and they worshiped him the way he wanted them to. But sin overcame them and became a barrier so that they couldn't have that close relationship that God wanted them to have. The exile was a result of their unfaithfulness to God. That was not just the leaders, but the people as well. They were all guilty of this. But God's grace and mercy, see, would be what brings them home, and it's also what brings salvation to the whole world today, is God's grace and mercy through David's line. And you know, while they may look back to coming out of Egypt or coming out of exile, today we can look back to the cross and what Jesus did for us on that cross. And always remember that because of his grace and mercy, we can be with him forever and don't have to be in exile. And you know, so we've gone through here. We've seen what the ultimate shepherd looks like. We've seen what the wrong shepherds look like. And we're going to close out today. I want to read some verses from back in John chapter 10 again about what the ultimate shepherd is. In John 10, verses 27 through 30, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So here we see, again, what the ultimate shepherd is. We can know him. That's the wonderful thing, that he can be our shepherd, that we hear his voice and we know him. And it says here that he gives eternal life, will never perish, and it says that can never be taken away from us. So, you know, we need to make sure that we are following the great shepherd, that we are making the right choice there. The people of Judah had leaders that led them astray, and their trust in men, it failed them. It ended them up in exile. When they returned from their sin, God gave them leaders that cared for them. And when we turn from our sin into Jesus, we have the perfect shepherd to lead us and to care for us. Because he is our shepherd and he is our righteousness. And I hope that we never forget that, that we make sure that we keep our focus on the great shepherd, not on men that would lead us astray. And we just thank you that God has provided that way for us to be with him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your blessings. And Lord, we thank you that you made a way for us to be with you, for you, your son, Jesus Christ, to be our shepherd, Lord. And I pray that we would never take that for granted. And Lord, that we would be faithful in following you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.